Greetings. Good morning. Happy Pentecost. Turn around the people around you and say, Happy Pentecost. There you go. It is a joy to be with you today to celebrate this major feast day of the church. I do want to acknowledge that for us as Americans, it is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day is, needless to say, a sober, reverent observance when we recall with thanksgiving the supreme sacrifice made by those who have served in our armed forces throughout this nation's history. And we will remember them in our prayers today and, of course, tomorrow on Memorial Day itself. Today, however, is our Christian Holy Day, and Pentecost closes our great 50 days of Easter with a joyous celebration of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church and to the world. And the Spirit is certainly active and alive in this church, don't you think? Amen? We have a full day here at the cathedral, 2 baptisms, 12 confirmations, 5 reception of those who are coming into the Episcopal Church from some other part of Christ's body, and 2 reaffirmations of faith. Who's being confirmed, received, or reaffirming this morning? Raise your hand. Let's acknowledge the Spirit's work in their lives. Amen. Greetings and blessings to you all. And who's visiting today in support of those being baptized, received, confirmed? Anyone here for the first time? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to test you or anything. There we go. Welcome them. Thank you so much. I want to start by saying thank you, Dean Kate Moorhead. You have a wonderful dean in this cathedral. I'm confident I speak for us all when I express our gratitude for your faithful leadership in this cathedral community, and not only that, for spreading the gospel in the wider Jacksonville community and diocese. Thank you so much for who you are. She's a great blessing to us all. Thanks to all the clergy and staff of this cathedral and to the wardens and members of the cathedral chapter who make this cathedral a very special place of worship, prayer, care, and service, a place open to all where all are not only invited to grow in the Spirit, to be formed in Christ and His love, but can find the resources for that growth. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Of course, it all begins with God. It all begins with God, God and God's grace. In truth, it begins with and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, whose coming we celebrate on this day. I'm not sure we make as big a deal about Pentecost as we should, but Pentecost is a big deal. Say that with me. Pentecost is a big deal. It is a big deal, a huge deal. It is about the Spirit of God alive. Alive and active in the church, in the world, in us, today, the living God, reviving, refreshing, renewing, not merely the church, but the world. This morning we heard 2 accounts of the giving of this gift of the Holy Spirit. The first is the dramatic story told in the book of Acts. Acts 2, verses 1 through 11. We heard that read in several languages. Wasn't that fun? In Judaism, Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Shavuot. The context for our reading from Acts today is the Jewish celebration of Shavuot. It was originally a harvest festival, but by the time of Jesus and his disciples, they had come to commemorate the giving of the law, to Moses 50 days after the Passover. It's why our reading from Acts today begins when the day of Pentecost had come. It's why they were all together in one place. Jesus' disciples, all of them faithful Jews, were in Jerusalem for the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, the giving of the law. But as Acts tells us, something happened. Something spectacular, mysterious. The Holy Spirit crashed the party. This shouldn't have surprised them. Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem to wait for the promised gift of the Father, that is, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it wasn't that it came that surprised them, as much as how it came. It came violently, it says, like the rush of a mighty wind. In Florida, we know a thing or two about the rush of mighty winds, don't we? We can imagine that. It came like tongues of fire dancing above their heads, Acts tells us, and a tongue rested on each of them, and that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Our gospel reading from John is also about the gifting of the Holy Spirit. It comes in a different way. It takes place on Easter Day. Yes, that Easter Day, the first Easter Day. The disciples are not partying. They're hiding out in grief and fear, alone, isolated, behind locked doors. But into that grief-stricken room of fearful, isolated disciples, John tells us, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I don't know what they made of all of this or what their immediate reaction was to his words. I suspect it was disbelief. Who are you? Who are you? What's going on here? What's all this about? John tells us after he said this, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side. Then John writes, "The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord." It's you. It's him. It's really him. In a book of reflections on John's gospel written in the 1930s, the late great Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, observes that Jesus' showing of his wounds are proof of his identity, that the one standing in front of them is the same one who had hung on the cross. Temple writes, "The wounds of Christ are his credentials to a suffering race of humanity." Wow. The wounds of Christ are his credentials to a suffering race of humanity. After his identity is authenticated by his woundedness, Jesus commissions those disciples and sends them forth. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathes on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Many have recognized and made a connection between the account in Genesis of God's breathing into the first human being, the breath of life, and this breathing of the Holy Spirit by Jesus, which gives those frightened and lost disciples a breath of new life. So there we have it. Two accounts of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. On Easter Day by Jesus, on the Feast of Pentecost with a dramatic, mysterious party crashing of the Divine Spirit in forms of wind and fire. Well, so what? What's the significance of this for us today? I think it's huge. I think it's huge. At his Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus said something to them which anticipates and interprets the meaning of this gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Jesus promised them on that occasion before his death, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Again, wow. "Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." It's an extraordinary assertion, not only of the oneness of Jesus and the Father, it's an assertion of Jesus' oneness with his disciples. His disciples then, and his disciples now. It's an assertion of Jesus' oneness with us. Our Book of Common Prayer teaches that the Holy Spirit is revealed as the Lord who leads us into all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. That's the Spirit's first reconciling work, reconciling each of us to God through our renunciation of sins and through our baptism. Baptized and gifted with the Spirit, as Christ himself was baptized with the Spirit descending on him. Through our baptisms, we are joined with Christ's body, the church, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No matter how old we are or when that baptism occurs, we live in him, he lives in us. That's the significance of the baptisms we're doing today. It's the significance of every baptism. It also relates to the confirmations, receptions, and reaffirmations taking place today. They're all intimately connected with baptism and the work of the Spirit by which God draws us into God's own self. God's Spirit unites us to God, to Jesus, to one another, and the whole of God's created order. Again, the prayer book makes this clear when, in response to the question, how do we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The prayer book provides the response, we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and are brought into love and harmony with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all of creation. Of course, it needs to be observed that we never lose our freedom in this. Free will allows us all to choose. We can cooperate with the Spirit's perfecting work in us, cooperate with God and God's desire for us and for our world, or we can resist and rebel. The Holy Spirit's work in us is lifelong, at least on this side of heaven. And I have to say, we have a range of people being baptized, confirmed, received, reaffirming today, a proof positive that the Spirit's work is never done in our lives. We can cooperate with the Spirit's perfecting work in us. We can cooperate with God and God's desire for us and our world, or we can resist and rebel. The Holy Spirit's work in us is lifelong. It's this Spirit's lifelong work of perfecting us all in the likeness and love of Jesus Christ until we're all restored to unity with one another and with God. For us in the Episcopal Church, this perfecting work looks like living fully into our baptismal promises, which all of us are going to renew today. And again, we're free to resist and often do, which is why the invitational word, repent, is so critical all along our faith journeys. Repent, turn to me and live, says the Lord. God constantly says that to us, constantly invites us. It is also more than about just us individually. It's about our communal life together as the church. It's about our membership in the human race. The uniting, reconciling work of the Holy Spirit is for all people and all creation, inviting, drawing, even cajoling all people and indeed all of creation into harmony with itself, one another, and with God as God sends forth his Spirit to renew the face of the earth. This should challenge us. Confronted as we are with so much disharmony among ourselves in the church, in society, in the world, even our disharmony with the planet itself, as we human beings continue on a reckless course of ongoing pollution and environmental degradation despite knowing better. But today is a day we lift up, celebrate, and acknowledge the ongoing work of the unitive person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the one that unites everything. Not just as it happened 2,000 years plus ago, but as it is happening right now here today. We celebrate the gift and reality of the Holy Spirit, which continues to show up in unexpected places, in unexpected ways, well, to crash our parties, to dance as flames above our head, to gust and blow where the wind chooses, we know not how. So on this day, as we baptize, confirm, receive, and reaffirm, St. Paul's prayer in Romans is also my prayer for you, that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created and recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.